Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi and welcome to a special edition episode here of the Snowcast. We're delighted today to be in Grady's Yard Pub doing a special interview with Kevin Kavanagh, the bar manager here at Grady's Yard, and Danny Trapp, who works for Yellow Belly Beer. I'm here, DJ Walsh, as usual, with Owen Tabb by my side. And Owen, we were here last week just introducing ourselves to Kevin, having a chat. We were here Saturday night socially with a crowd of people and we had a really good time. And I just want, before we go to the lads, your first impressions of Grady's Yard as a pub.
The location here in Waterford on John Street is just amazing. It's right outside the pub centre of Waterford. So basically, just when you come into the bar, what I really, really like is that you're greeted immediately by the actual bar. There's no faffing about walking down the end of a, trying to find where the old bar is to get served. You're immediately greeted by 20 or so taps.
A runway of taps,
exactly. So then just like the decor in here initially, like it's quite, maybe a bit metropolitan. It feels quite New York, like Brooklyn or like Queens. I really like the way a lot of the stuff in here is salvaged and it seems to be very unique. And the place is very open plan. But again, there's all these little nooks and crannies where you can have your chat. Very much a chat and bar. The second thing that I really, really like about the bar is the staff. Staff here, sound lads.
100%.
And by lads, I obviously mean lads and girls. It's just a collective Irish lads.
For the overseas listeners, that means men and women.
That means men and women. Just like you can go up to the bar, go, I drink Heineken or whatever, and they'll recommend something from either the Yellow Belly stuff or from one of their other guest taps. To recommend that something like Heineken or Guinness or, you know, if you're a stout or anything like. But yeah, the boys are just amazing. But I think we'll kick off the questions there.
We'll crack on anyway. So Danny, Kevin,
thanks for having us, lads.
No bother, you're very welcome. Very welcome to the Snowcast. Delighted to be here. And I suppose, Kevin, I'll come at you first with this question I have lined up for you. Why the name Grady's Yard?
We picked Grady's Yard because it's the historical name of the area. So we were going to go with the name Clockworks initially.
He's insider scoop, right?
It is an insider scoop, isn't it?
You might know the name of the next star now.
We were messing around with Clockworks and some other names for a while. I believe Freight was thrown into the mix.
Still, I still maintain Freight would be a great name. Listeners, text in if you think Freight
would be a great name. We put a poll up on Instagram.
Yeah, Danny's idea anyway, by the sound of it. But we messed around with a few names, and when we were trying to describe to people where it was in the months leading up to opening, it's kind of a weird part of town to tell people where a pub is, like, you know, because once you get off the Apple Market and go down the road, we're kind of tucked in a wee bit, and we found people weren't taking the directions well.
You're in town, but you're not in town.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just on the edge. So we found out the name of the area then was Grady's Yard, and when we started saying, it's down in Grady's Yard, everybody knew where it was straight away. So we just went with Grady's Yard, and I think it fits a lot better than any of the ideas we had.
Yeah, and it really feels like a Grady's Yard to me, if that could be a thing.
Sure. Yeah, man.
It fits the place and suits it perfectly.
Yeah.
A fantastic name and a fantastic location. Speaking of the location, Owen, you have a question for the boys about that.
So I suppose for either, I don't know who wants to answer it, but why was Waterford your next location? You started off in Wexford, the home of Yellow Belly. Why next Waterford?
Yeah, I suppose it was, obviously it's our nearest city location, arguably depending on which way you drive to Kilkenny, but from Wexford, but I suppose it would be our kind of closest city. In terms of as a brewery, when we kind of spawned out from our kind of local area, Waterford was always a great receptor of our beers. We would have kind of got taps in Ishka, taps in Tully's, taps in The Reg, taps in Oscar's, Revolution, Phil Grimes. We had great support from other great bars, so it was kind of a natural progression to make, was to somewhere where we know our beers are well received, and if we could make any way of the similar contribution to the bar scene as the lads of aforementioned bars have done, we'd be doing something well. So yeah, just glad to be part of the scene.
Brilliant. And I suppose, speaking of the location, then in Waterford, Kevin, maybe you'll be able to give us an insight in why this specific location in Waterford, Johnsbridge, as I used, like we said, in town, but not in town. I look at it now as like the gateway into town, as in like it's a place that you have to stop by if you are going in town for a drink.
Historically, it was a gateway into town. Yeah. I think that bridge was.
That's right, yeah.
Probably, like, you see the old walls here outside. This was part of the actual original gateway into Waterford.
It was. So, I mean, the location came up and became available, and straight away, like, you know, it just made sense. The vision obviously took a long time. It's been a couple of years in the making, but
how many years has it been?
I think it's been 2 years all in all since
the lease was signed.
Yeah, we got our hands on it 2 years ago, and kind of we've been working on it ever since, really slow and steady for a while, and then we burst into it big time this year at the start of the summer, and just knocked it out. But once the location became available, this particular location obviously wasn't used since 2013, I think, was it?
I think
it's been empty for about 5 years. So once it came up, we just had to take it. And then, it's just worked out really well. We moved the entrance a wee bit from the road right onto the waterfront there, and I think it just looks really well. If you consider it a gateway, just coming over the bridge, you can just kind of nip in. And
I think with our concept as well, there's very few places in Waterford you're going to find you're going to put 20-foot containers in.
Yeah.
We couldn't go into the old workers, you know, you wouldn't really have to struggle to get 20-foot containers.
Exactly, yeah. Size wasn't mattering the issue.
Yeah, exactly. As it always is.
It always is. Even when they say it isn't, it always is. Just like from my perspective on that and the location, like when you're walking out, like we walk down from Owen's house. Owen doesn't live too far from here. If we were walking in town, we'd be coming over the bridge. And just as you crest the bridge and you see the dark building, Grady's Yard written in yellow and the little yellow band as well there, it sticks out. It looks well and it's really inviting.
The colour pops really well.
Oh, listen.
Yellow and grey is just...
Yeah.
It works.
It sounds simple, but it pops so well.
And subliminally, giving away your marketing technique here, probably Yellow Belly Beer, yellow and grey, like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not that smart, I'd speak that much anyway.
is there someone in on the team that's like real design, real concept head, like that was able to think this out, or did you bring somebody in or what? Like,
no, well, if it was all done in house, I suppose our boss, two bosses, Nicky and Simon Lampert, but Nicky would be kind of looking after this project more, and I think he's just got one of those kind of brains where he can kind of just see how something will work, and he'll just get the layout right, and he'll do a lot of research. In fairness, he'll visit pubs that and where he gets the feel for something, but no, everything was pretty done between ourselves in terms of a lot of design. We have a designer that works for the brewery full time, so Paul Rex, he obviously got involved in a lot of kind of the bespoke pieces and helped him out with drawings and putting kind of concepts and mood boards and stuff like that together, but it was all done internally through, and it's kind of the pub. We always, when we go, we travel around a bit to the UK and stuff in Europe to like different festivals with the brewery, and it's the kind of pub we always find ourselves drinking in. It's that kind of industrial vibe, that kind of lot of upcycling, just that kind of real big open space.
It's
kind of
no TV.
Very
much a talking bar.
Yeah, so we're just trying to create a pub where we want to drink in.
But not only that, but it's a great location. Like, I know, Kevin, you're big into coffee. It's a great location even if you're not having a drink, if you're just after work and on your way home or whatever. It's a great place to pop in and just have a cup of coffee and a chat as well. It's just a really friendly, warm environment.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I keep using this term and I'm going to get sick of it if I keep saying it, but I see it as a beer cafe, not an Irish pub. whether that's coffee or beer or non-alcoholic beer, which we're having right now, anything really, you know. The concept was to get the best of everything that we put under one roof, and I think we've kind of achieved that.
And you guys are on the non-alcoholic beers because you're working, obviously, but with our job, we've the luxury, well, this job anyway, shout out to Niamh, who keeps telling me I don't have a second job. We like to drink the alcoholic drinks, and we'll move on.
So do we, though.
Yeah.
We won't get anything under on the record here.
I'm not getting you.
This is a Waterford's first non-alcoholic bar.
Yeah. moving on to the alcoholic drinks then, lads. The lads here have been sound enough to put a wee tasting board on for myself and Owen. So, lads, first up on the tasting board, Danny, do you want to talk us through what the first drink is?
Yeah, so this is our Keller beer, which is our unfiltered Helles style lager. So it's kind of obviously a beer that we don't have any kind of mainstream lagers on tap. So it's kind of our introductory kind of craft beer. So someone who is into the likes of Hop House or Heineken, Carlsberg, Budweiser's to give that kind of alternative, but also to put our own spin on it like we do. We see it as much more flavoursome beer. I suppose the style itself, Keller beer would be German for cellar beer, and they're generally a bit more fuller bodied than a conventional lager. You'll get a bit more sweetness than you would from a conventional lager, and then obviously a bit more haze to the beer as well, which would be kind of succinct with the style. So yeah, nice easy drinking, smooth, nice sweet finish. So just, yeah, something you can get a few into you without offending the non-craft drinker, I suppose, you know. Yeah, just to get them in gently.
Absolutely. Like I was here with a friend of mine on Saturday night, TJ Collin, and he'd be a Heineken man through and through, like, and came in, he was kind of eyeing up the taps, one of these non-craft drinkers, a sound guy but a non-craft drinker, and again, like, it was just an easy option for him, and he really enjoyed it. I'd say five or six of them, and he was happy out to have five or six of them.
Yeah, because the selection is so big here, that's where our staff are kind of so important to us, and they're kind of well trained. And, you know, if someone says they usually drink Heineken, or someone says they usually drink Smittix, then that's when they kind of jump in and offer suggestions. Yeah. And taste as well, you know, if you're unsure of something, we're happy to give taste and samples, and, you know, which helps a bit in making the decision.
Absolutely. I'll give a shout out to Michal, because he straight away said, go for the Keller Lager, you're going to enjoy it. Mm. It's going to be down your or up your tree or whatever the phrase is.
What do you think of it, DJ?
Well, listen, it's actually lovely. There's a lovely flavour to it. It's really crisp. When you take that first little sip, it's really crisp. Mm. And it almost cleanses your palate, and then the flavours start just singing a little bit. It's really nice. Really enjoyed it. That's actually my first sip of this particular one, because if I was coming here, I'd be pale ale or sour vice or something. But that's my first taste of lager. Basically, if I was coming in here on a Sunday, belting hot day, it was 20 degrees, I was going to sit here for a couple of hours, I think it'd be the ideal drink for that kind of day, to be honest. Like, yeah. Owen, what's your take on it?
Well, like, before we came down here, we had a bottle of Budweiser and a flat can of Heineken. So,
keeping them stored away for
fucking stored away, like. But no, where he pulled the fucking things out. The can of Heineken, I only drank about two sips of it.
Threw it down the sink immediately. Yeah. So, yeah, it's nicer than that, right?
Definitely nicer than that.
No, you can definitely.
Yeah. You can definitely, like, there definitely is that kind of sweeter taste. It's definitely more flavoursome than your general kind of Heineken Carlsberg lagers. You kind of, like, they're just kind of easy, light drinks to drink, but
there's no real flavour to them that much. But whereas the Keller here from Yellow Belly, like, there's a good depth of flavour.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can taste the malt, if you ever in a brewery when they're mashing in, when they're adding water to malted barley, you kind of can smell that. It's almost like porridge, that really oaty kind of sweet kind of bready flavour to it, and I think that is missing from a lot of conventional lagers, but you can really taste the actual malted barley flavour.
Definitely a drink that you can just you could stay on this for the night, do you know. Yeah. It's not, it wouldn't blow the head off you. It is that kind of that general kind of lagery not taste,
like,
you know,
not like your tin can of emotion, which you wouldn't be drinking 20 pints of that stuff, I tell you. So, well, listen,
be a different John to be going to then.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's an absolutely lovely lager.
Thanks very much.
And that's the first drink on our tour of Yellow Belly drinks that we're going to have here during this interview. So we're going to move on to the next question, lads. And I suppose both of you will have an interest in answering this question. And I suppose we were just wondering, how do you select a new brew? So, for example, like, what's the experimentation process like in the brewery? I know, for example, you have the, is it the what's the rare raspberry ale you've brought in now? The Martian Jam,
the Martian
is it?
Martian Jam, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen the stuff on Instagram about that. It looks fairly tasty. I might be having one or two of those later on.
Yeah, so that's that beer itself is actually, it's the idea was developed by Rory and Martin, who would be our packaging manager and assistant brewer. So hence the name, Martin, so that's kind of a play on his name as well and Rory's name.
Inside scoop here.
Exactly, yeah. So,
Snowcast exclusive.
That was one of theirs. So they're encouraged as well to brew. Like, we have a small 1,000 litre system as well as a 6,500 litre system. So their 1,000 litre system came out of our old pub. So we used to, our brewery was in situ underneath a pub in Wexford. So that came up to us when we moved to our new site as well. So we package a new beer on that every week. Which kind of allows our, you know, people in our packaging team, even marketing team, bar staff to get involved in brewing. And in terms of coming up with ideas, it's kind of like there's no wrong answer. You know, if you a particular beer that you've liked, a style that you've liked, something that you want to recreate, or just two flavors you think will work together. I mean, we only work with generally four ingredients, but because there's so many of each type of those ingredients, yeah, the combinations are endless. And then you can also throw in stuff like raspberries as well to upset the apple cart altogether. But it's just kind of idea of what you think flavors work well with. And then when it comes to us, it's all about the names anyway, and the funny names in the artwork, which all helps.
We're
as well,
actually a brewery. I've
got marketing,
bunch of mad scientists.
Yeah.
How many beers do you think, this is just from a Yellow Belly point of view, just to get a kind of idea of it, how many do you try before you actually get something that you can put in a barrel and stop off to Grady's Yard and sell here?
We're lucky enough, I'd say, over our 3 years, if we've maybe dumped four or five beers that we weren't happy with.
Really?
Yeah.
That's mad, because we work in the healthcare industry, and for every drug that comes onto the market, there's thousands that don't. So, from a different industry, like, obviously you're after becoming almost masters of your craft and a lot better at it.
We're blessed with the brewer we have as well.
Exactly, yeah.
He's an absolute
genius. Shout out to Dechlinics.
he's brilliant, like, and he rarely fucks it up, if I can use some colourful language.
He's been there with us since day one, and we've done over 200 beers at this stage, and he, like, 99% of those is off his own bat. He comes in the morning, like, obviously our bigger scale brews are kind of planned, and we'll we'll put have a lot of thought into it, but our smaller batch stuff is kind of almost done. Willy Wonka style off the bat, Deck will come in and here's what ingredients I have, here's what I want to brew, and he'll knock it out of the park every time. So we wouldn't be able to do what we do if it wasn't for Deck.
And just to follow up on that, then, something I really enjoyed over the last couple of weeks here, the last few visits I've had, was the Belly Dancer.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a collaboration you guys did. So just a bit of background into that. It was a grape and lime IPA. It was fucking delicious.
Yeah, I was at a beer festival in Eindhoven. Would have been March or April of this year. Last year. What are we?
It was this year.
This year.
Yeah.
And we went over there and we met the lads from Big Belly Brewing, who were based in the area, and tried some of their beers and thought they're really cool. And they played a lot around with a central character as well. So all their labels had this kind of central character similar to our beers, and kind of in the comic book style. So
obviously the Belly connection by now.
Exactly, of course. Yeah, yeah. And they liked our beers, and we kind of said, look, we'd love to collaborate on a beer. We shared a distributor in Holland, so we knew we would have a home for the beer and stuff. We brewed it, so the Netherlands, I was told off so many times for calling Holland right. Holland. But the boys came over and they came up with the idea of brewing a beer that was gonna taste like a pisco sour cocktail. Pisco was like a kind of a grape lime brandy, and then there's like a pisco sour kind of cocktail. So we wanted to kind of produce kind of a tart acidic beer with kind of those flavors. So yeah, it was kind of really tropical IPA at heart, and then we added then some grape and lime juice then to the fermenter as well, just to kind of give you some tartness and some dryness.
A bit of acidity as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it's
Pisco's, I was travelling last year, I was in Peru, that's like home of Pisco, and like, again, like, that's an amazing, like, use of, like, and it's completely different use of grape, like, there as well, you know, so, it's brilliant, like, being able to test all these, like, I don't know, different alcohols and stuff, and try and incorporate them into your beer. I'm going to throw maybe a spanner in the works here and just ask you, what's the worst pint you've ever had? I'll leave you think of it.
You go first and I'll advise you.
I'll tell you. So it was 2008, first year of college, And do you know the way when you're, I think it was maybe Freshers Week or whatever, and you're,
you looked a lot different then than we do now.
Yeah, maybe. Do you know the way you're being enticed into all these different places and offers are being thrown at you, being, you know,
sure,
come
yeah.
in here, free drinks. I think, so I went into the Savoy in Cork, and the enticement into the place was, come in here, free pint, free entry. They have a DJ and lasers and smoke machine.
That's a brilliant.
Right? So anyway, so...
they had you at free pint, like,
free
they
point,
didn't
yeah,
need
they,
the lasers and the smoke yeah. machine.
Oh, you'd have been there for the lasers.
But anyway, so went in anyway, and so six boys from Waterford strolling into this place, and should we go up, like, nightclub? And I go, we'll have 6 pints of Guinness, please. I'd say the tap hadn't been touched in years. Like, honest to God, it was bleach. Bleach came out of the thing. Like, I was 100% the worst thing. Like, I think actually Guinness is probably the beer that is probably most associated with a bad pint, really, isn't it? Like,
well, you know, mine was a nitro stout as well. It was a pint of Murphy's in London. Just in April, I was at a show over there, and I asked for a pint at the venue. And I was like, it was pure white when she gave it to me.
Oh,
single
Jesus.
Pour in a plastic glass.
Oh.
Just this white cascading nightmare. But I laughed as I handed her £7 or whatever.
Yeah.
I think white cascading nightmare would be a good fucking episode title.
Yeah. But yeah, those nitro stouts, the people can mess them up. Speaking of nitro stout, you've recently tried a new one.
Yeah.
Left-hand stout?
Left-hand,
yeah.
What did you think?
Nitro. Oh, I thought it was really nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Pure cream, like.
Yeah.
Is, yeah. So smooth to go down, like. I really liked it anyway, like, yeah.
It's an excellent beer.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Where was that on top?
Philly's.
Phil Grimes.
Phil Grimes, yeah. Your neighbours.
Is that a...
How much did he charge for that? Hey, no, don't burn all our fucking bridges, will you?
the can itself, I bought the can, but it's scalding up. It was just in an off license, so I was
yeah.
just, and the old bottles as well used to be scaldy, but...
it wasn't scaldy,
no, this was delicious.
If Simon was buying it, it wasn't scaldy.
yeah, worst point, I don't know, like, probably just, like, at a music festival or a sports
yeah.
event or something, just like
yeah.
a Carlsberg or Heineken.
Yeah.
Like, a can with a cigarette in it is probably the worst thing I've ever drank. Like,
stop.
Oh, no. Was the cigarette yours?
No, it wasn't. It was like a can of Foster's, and it kind of put me off drinking unopened cans
yeah.
or unpoured out cans for years,
yeah,
and I just
yeah.
think every time I put a can to my mouth, all I tasted was cigarette ash in my head.
Was it a nice woman's, at least?
Jeez, I can't remember. I didn't see any lipstick on the end of it anyway, but yeah, it's probably the worst taste I've ever had of beer would be one with cigarettes in it.
Oh, you had this awful pint of Yellow Belly there. I'm only
joking. In Grimes.
I've never had a bad pint of Yellow Belly. I'm not saying that because you're sitting alongside me, but it's true though, but I probably say personally, the worst pint I've ever had was probably from a festival at Independence a couple of years ago there. Just a fucking pint of Orchard Thieves.
Mm.
I just don't like it. And then I got a pint of it at a festival because it was at a festival, I was off my face.
Yeah. I'm sure it's completely sponsored by them, like, you've no option.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I want a cider, you're getting off Orchard Thieves, like, you know.
I'll put it this with you, right? After the first sip, I uncontrollably sneezed for about 8 minutes straight. So then, no word of lie, like, non-stop. And me and my girlfriend tested this, like, when sometimes I get these fits of sneezing, I don't know where they come from. Well, I took one fucking, and I've mentioned this on the
apples, lap. Obviously, then, isn't it?
No, definitely not, because my grandparents have an orchard, like, a mini orchard out their back. And I'd be out picking apples there the whole time. I don't think one sneezed up there. But genuinely, had a sip of this stuff. And I mentioned on episode 4, I smell stuff before I taste them. Beer, food, the whole fucking lot. The lads laughed me out of it. But I had a sniff of it and I was like, oh, what the fuck is this? And then I had a sip and sneezing happened. Spilled half the pint sneezing then. They're fucking scaldy enough at the festivals. And then I downed the rest of it. And
probably £7 as well, like.
Died a fucking debt as well.
Yeah.
That was without a doubt the worst beer or pint or cider, whatever the fuck you want to call
Does
it.
Does anyone remember their first pint?
Yeah.
First legally ballpoint.
Legally ballpoint. Remember it fucking crystal clear. The Woodstock Bar in Inishdeag. Went there.
Good spot.
Yeah.
Inishdeag is a great spot.
Unreal. Some spot, like a couple of bars around the little square and picturesque as fuck.
I know the spot, yeah.
The Woodstock. Went there to hear a guy, Tony Fitz, an Australian chap who owned a cottage next to my granduncle's house. Lived there for about 10 years. He used to play music in Woodstock. So I was 18, just a summer. I actually didn't do much underage drinking at all, if any. And when I was 18 then, father and uncle and granduncle said, come on, we go down to the Woodstock and listen to Tony. And I sat down expecting a glass of Luke. I said I was only 18 a couple of days. Expecting a glass of Luke's head off the outlet, and he comes down with a pint of Heineken and
whiskey chaser. Box of cigars.
That's nice, son, you're a man. And a beard.
Get that in. I had a beard when I was about fucking 12. Get that into you, bastard. What was your first legally bought pint, Kev?
I didn't do much underage drinking either. I think I was 20 when I bought a pint of Heineken in a nightclub. It was awful.
And look where you are now.
Slight improvements, you know.
I can't remember now. I've done so much drinking before it.
Yeah, pubs, yeah.
So we were looking at our dad, well, our dad, my friend's dad.
The collective.
My friend's dad had a pub in
Supreme Leader.
Pub in Wexford, Sky in the Ground. That was probably my first legal pint when I was 18. So
it's your 5,000 pint.
Exactly, yeah. No, but so I think I was actually weirdly, I think it was like a large bottle of Gardens. I was kind of ahead of my time in terms of drinking fucking Edinburgh lager.
You wanted ale.
Yeah, but and I remember actually Johnny, and I was just to drink large with Cardinals, and I thought it was nice tasting it. And it got me into like loads of English ales, like Hobgoblin and Bishop's Finger and all that stuff he had in his fridge. And that kind of started me on the road then of drinking independent beer.
Yeah.
Do you know? I think mine was probably a pint of Heineken in Electric Avenue here. I think the 18th birthday, and I think De Laurentiis were playing in there. That used to be a savage venue in Waterford. It's one thing that Waterford's missing, I think, at the moment is a kind of a
gigging venue.
A gigging venue, really, like, you know. Shorts is okay, like, but I think it needs somewhere else, like, you know.
We did a gig in shorts once.
We did, yeah.
Well, we didn't really, like, but found this chap with the Red Hot Chili Pepper symbol tattooed on his arm there, and I'd say we just absolutely roared the place down for about 2 hours. Made absolute hymns of it. Kevin, you told us some fun. Oh no, the next we're going to have another drink. Sorry,
aye.
Made a ball to that. cut that bit out. Right, so Kevin, the next drink we have is the Citra Pale Ale, I think.
Yeah,
am I right, Danny?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Good
yeah.
stuff. So do you want to talk us through it?
Yeah, it's an American Pale Ale. 4.8%, very hoppy, fruity aroma, and the taste reflects it. It's nice and light, easy drinking. Again, 4.8%. It's not a massive jump away from macro lagers or stouts or anything like that. So
not from you mad bastards in Yellow Belly, anyway.
We've messed around a bit, like. But
you have to deal with people drinking pints as well. So
that tin can of emotion that I mentioned earlier, that's 10.1, I think, is it?
It is, yeah.
Savage stuff.
We'll never sell a pint of that.
No.
Never,
no.
ever. If anyone asks me for a pint of that, they get barred immediately.
But, what do you serve that then?
So a schooner, 2/3 of a pint.
Oh, yeah.
Is the most. But yeah. But yeah, Citra we find it's probably our most successful beer, and
yeah, any of our kind of taps we'd have around, if we only have one tap anywhere, it would always be Citra.
And yeah, again, it's not that it's a gateway drink, but people seem to, it's an easy sell basically to craft drinkers and non-craft drinkers alike. I think it just speaks for itself as well. It's an amazing drink. But
that's why we patted him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Over to you, Citra.
This guy's a marketing genius.
But yeah, it's a great drink. It's been our most successful one around the country, in cans and on draft. So it's what we're known for, really.
I love that terminology, a gateway. Gateway drink.
Gateway pub, gateway drink, gateway drunk.
Welcome to Gateway Yard.
The Gateway Cast. Like, we actually had a brief conversation about people who overmarket their products and stuff like that at Owen's house earlier. The thing we brought up was Rockshore.
Shore, yeah.
Rock Shore, yeah. and we went to the Cove one day after work for one or two, and it was on tap there. And your man was like, do you want a pint of this? And we said, can we have a taste? I was like, piss. And I kind of, but I had this gut instinct it was going to be like that, not to be like slating any drinks here or anything like this. You know, we're drinking a podcast, obviously. Like,
yeah,
we want to praise everyone.
Like, try everything.
Hey, you want to be fucking honest as well. And sure. if I tell listeners go off drinking Rockshore and they taste it, like the truth is in the taste buds.
Aye.
But like that, we were saying, you know, they market it so heavily. With like say a Citra Pale Ale here, it's so good. You don't have to push this. You kind of push it itself, really. Like, in here again on Saturday, and actually three or four of our friends came in and they were like, "What's good here?" And straight away, I said, "Listen, lad, starting off, try the Citra. You love it. It's really, really nice." I was on a Saturday. I had a couple of Monday last week as well, and Jesus Christ, it goes down so smooth.
It's one of those beers. Like, remember we launched the brewery and like. Our boss man, he wanted us to produce like a lager, which is now Keller beer, and a pale ale, which is now Citroen. And then we wanted to just have new beers all the time. It's the fact we had a 200 litre brewery, but
which incidentally is right over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So that's our very first brewery. So that's what the birth of Yellow Belly.
Come down and check it out.
Yeah, exactly. But
two bits of history side by side: the original walls of Waterford and the original brewery of Yellow Belly. Yeah, there.
Exactly. Well, we're not going to get into a debate over which is more culturally significant. We'll leave that up to the.
We'll leave that to the listeners. Yeah.
Come and experience it yourself.
I've never seen that Waterford Wall Brew award-winning beer.
Again, we'll put a poll up on Instagram. Who did it better?
Exactly. Yeah, but yeah. Sorry, going back to Citra. Anyway, so it's beer. Like we would have thought that, like your mainstream beer drinkers, even Guinness drinkers, Heineken drinkers, if they were going to give us a go, they would have kind of gone with the lager and stuck with the lager. But now you've, especially in Simon's, even here, we see people who would have come in looking for a Guinness and end up being seasoned Citra drinkers. It's kind of it's that beer that has the flavour, but it has the clean finish. You know, it has the hoppiness, but it's still, you know, it's not too bitter. So yeah, it's gonna just be. That was actually our third version of a pale ale. That was its launch as APA Mark fourth? 3.
Remember?
Well, or summer ale as well.
Oh yes, yeah.
It was APA American Pale Ale Mark 3, and then we just stuck with that. Then that was became our core range pale ale.
So it was once referred to as Mortal Kombat 3 because it was
MK 3.
I love it.
But yeah, over the last 2 years now, I suppose that's been our biggest seller and number one beer.
And you can see why it's so relatable to non-craft beer as well. Like it's like that extra step up. It's just it's a good pale ale, but with added flavour. It's like a fucking eating a nice dish at home and then going to a good restaurant and having a good quality version of that dish.
Well, there's enough flavour in there to keep people interested. I mean, we've all tried like far more adventurous drinks. Like you brought up the Tin Can of Emotion earlier, but I find myself going back to Citra time and time again. And it's an easy leap to make from macro drinks to citrus, so it's just a great beer, really. I'd say enough good about it.
Yeah.
And of course, I would.
Feel sorry for the third beer now coming up.
Darren was talking there about how we were here last Saturday, and we came in with a few friends. And now my girlfriend, she doesn't drink beers, so she was on the wine. I wonder if you'd like to tell our listeners just maybe something about the four taps of wine that you have on offer here as well.
Yeah, well, we've just two whites and two reds on draft over there. I don't know a huge amount about them, to be honest.
Well, so it's,
Danny will have to feel this.
We started doing Simon's, our pub in Wexford. We started bringing in draft wine and the idea of putting good wine on keg, and a lot of people are kind of just wine coming out of a tap, and they're a bit weird and you're coming to tap it, but like, we'd love to do glasses or glasses of wine from the bottle. Like, we never really like doing those quarter bottles of wines. We find that people complain about the hangovers. It's very hard to get good quality small bottles of wines. So then you'd be getting like big bottles and opening them, but then after a day or two, if you would have half a bottle, then the wine would turn, you start getting some flavor flavors. Yeah. Exactly. But the idea of wine on tap is it's as fresh as the start of the keg, it is at the end of the keg. So it's like good draft beer.
It's balanced, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
It only touches the air when it comes out of the tap.
Yeah.
So it's balanced off, is it then? Like,
it's kegged in the vineyard, brought over here, then next time it'll kind of retouch the environment then is in Grady's yard.
So again, like, we've talked a lot about beer, but for those of you, the listeners that aren't into your beers or craft beers, like, you probably like wines. Come and have a wine in Grady's yard as well.
Exactly, and we do spirit infusions as well, which are big things we do here. Get the staff involved, we age some spirits in fruit, which is
just really kind of interesting. We've kind of fun names on them and have a bit of crack with that. So we and we have like gins from all around Ireland, some of the best whiskies as well from all around Ireland. So we're kind of trying to champion Irish kind of independent produce as much as we can. So yeah, we try to have something for everyone.
Just gluten free beer, alcohol free beer, a lot of cider. There really is something for everyone.
Yeah, cool. I love it.
And coffee.
And coffee, yeah.
In this beer cafe.
Aye.
So you mentioned earlier that that you took over this premises 2 years ago. So before this, this used to be Dignity, the gay bar in Waterford.
Yeah.
So my question is, did you find anything mad when you were going to the premises afterwards? I'm just saying this from a general perspective that shit can be left behind, like, but.
Incidentally, I found some shit that was left behind in the toilet.
So literally.
I had the enviable task of cleaning out the toilets over the summer when we were getting the place ready, and there was shit on the wall.
Jesus!
Yeah. So,
what colour was it at that stage?
You can see if we kept it as a feature.
Yeah, yeah.
as a the natural aroma.
It's a nod to the last place, but yeah, there was. Yeah.
We kept pulling the shit.
There was a little bit on the wall, so that was the maddest shit that I left. That I found left behind. Not that I left behind. But
it's all coming out.
Yeah. There was something else in the ceiling in the back as well. There was something lying around up there. There was a scales, I'm not sure what that was used for, but
there was a full condom machine myself and Nikki got very excited about one time and took that apart, but they were all out of date for like 2 years. And there was like £4 in them.
Pounds like
it only closed like 5 years ago.
Cryptocurrency.
So like Dan, you mentioned about like how everything in here is upcycled, I think the term you used there, and everything has basically been salvaged. Is there anything here that you're like most proud about for that you've recycled or upcycled, as you're saying?
Yeah,
like in fairness, it was mainly Nikki the boss man that done it, but my favourite thing about it is a real cool kind of stained glass window door at the back of the bar that's used on the partitions. That's really, really funky. And then even the tables we're all sitting upon, they're made out of, the tops of the tables are made out of old pallets. So literally just chopped up and lacquered and varnished and stuff. And I think they're, you wouldn't tell, which is the best thing about them. Like, you know, you could pay good money for them, but.
No, these are at all, like, yeah.
So that's, I think they're the coolest things that you would notice. Obviously the containers is a big speaking point as well.
Ken, what about you? Is there any?
I would have said that door, really, so Danny's after Nick and my answer, but the fireplace, actually, Danny's resting his arm on now. We dug that out of a yard. We were in one of the many colourful yards around South County Wexford, just digging around, looking for ideas, really. We didn't have anything in particular we were looking for, and we found that fireplace. It's a wee bit knackered, like, and it's missing a little bit on the side, but I think it looks brilliant. I think it looks like it survived something. I know it's back here, it's got a new lease of life.
Yeah, it looks like a living, breathing tetanus shot.
Like, on the fireplace, I said this to you, Kevin, last week when you showed us around the place, like, we turned the corner at the back of the bar, because the bar is, like, basically similar to enough if you have a kitchen with an island unit. The bar's in the middle and you can walk 360 around it, which I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. And we turned the corner and then the fireplace just hit you like a slap in the face, but a good slap in the face.
Yeah,
kind of kinky.
That one of those.
Yeah. And I just think, like, the place, fireplace, and you've got like the barrels and containers mixed up the poles here that are all painted. The colour team works. It's very rustic. Like, in fairness to you, the bar's only a couple of weeks open, but it's got so much fucking character that you'd find it. You never really find in a new new.
It takes a lot of effort to make it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like, it took a lot of effort.
It's not just a slap of paint and a bit of fucking neon lighting. Like, it's hard graft you can see you put into the place.
There's a reason the launch was delayed quite a number of times. We didn't want to open a half-arsed pub, like, or a half-conceived idea is probably a better way of putting it. So when it was ready, it was ready, and I think it speaks for itself.
Excellent. Speaking of hard graft, lads, what Yellow Belly drink that you've made in the last number of years since Yellow Belly have been making beers and stouts and lagers and ales are you most proud of?
Yeah.
I don't know, it could be really boring, like, and just go, like, Citra.
Because it's broken through.
And I think it will, in terms of, it's a beer now that like we export to, like alongside others, but it's a beer we export to 8 European markets as well as our own. It's a beer that I always go to when I'm in the pub. It's a beer that I see in cans now all around the country, and I kind of, you see it in bars that you never thought it'd work. I mean, like Old Man Bars in Wexford, you see it in bars in Port Leash, bars in Galway, you see citrus hops, and that's my role of the other buddy as a sales manager, so I'm on the road constantly going around, and that's the one I push in, that's the one I talk about. So it's a boring answer, but probably Citra Pale Ale is the one that I get the most kick out of drinking, and then seeing other people drink as well.
Wonderful.
And a good answer, like, yeah.
I think for me it was great for the town, just because the artwork kind of, summed up Wexford town, and again, it's probably boring and corny, but I think it's great that something like this came out of Wexford town. Obviously, being a Wexford man, it means a lot to all of us. And that was one of our breakthrough beers as well. When we first started launching beers, we did monthly bottle releases. They were in 330ml bottles, and that was, I think, the second wave or the third wave of bottles, and it really caught the imagination, and it's still talked about today, even though it's been on the shelf for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah. Strawberry sour as well. So
it's a strawberry kettle sour, and it was an amazing beer as well.
And what I think is great is I'd have a couple of overseas friends, and they'd see our activity on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And obviously, if anyone's listening to this, give Grady's Yard and Yellow Belly Beer a follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
And Yellow Belly Danny.
Yeah. And Yellow Belly Kev, that's K-E-V.
Please don't follow my personal account. Your stuff on social media is really cool. Really like what you do on social media. And I suppose, for example, I was shown a couple of my friends in Liverpool. I sent them an image of the tin can of emotion just to say I had a taste of this last night, and it said 10.1%, and they said you're all a bit fucking mad. And they're not wrong, but I wanted to just say for any lads in there that are looking, they'd say to me, what's the significance of the strawberry sour, and I'd be telling them, Wexford strawberries are famous over here, so they wouldn't get the links. But then when you explain it to them, all of a sudden that's something they won't ever forget. Your branding, you've really stayed true to your location and where you're from and stuff, is really good. And I wanted to ask you about the logo and the design of the beers, because it definitely stands out. It's definitely full of character, just like this pub is, just like, Yellow Belly, the staff clearly are, and yourselves are full of character and full of life. You obviously have a really good logo design artist. And just, again, that concept of, I asked you about coming up with the names and stuff like that, but where does it all,
we're lucky. There's been kind of, started to worry, it's kind of with seven kind of core members. I used to work for the likes of managed Simon's in the pub, so I was working as a barman for the lads, and kind of the idea of a brewery came about, and there was, kind of seven of us there from the start, including kind of our head brewer, obviously Declan, our market manager, Seamus, myself, two brothers, Nicky and Simon, I'm going to forget someone, Paul, obviously, our designer. So we've had that kind of core group, and Dara, the assistant brewer, he's unfortunately...
Right, it's not the Oscars, are
we? Right, we've had the kind of core group of seven there from day one, so we kind of came up with the idea of obviously having Yellow Belly as the name of the brewery, and then that name, for anyone kind of listening, kind of links back to a... People from Wexford know the Yellow Bellies, their old jersey, Hurling jersey, used to have a yellow sash around their waist, so everyone was known as the Yellow Bellies. So we kind of wanted to play on that kind of idea of like a Victorian kind of steampunk kind of hurler. So we kind of took on Paul at that stage just to design our logo, and then we've kept him on ever since, because we bring out new beers every week, every 2 weeks, and we have this kind of central character, Yellow Belly, who's in all our artwork and is across our brand, and it just kind of means we can have fun with him. Like most brands don't have that character, you don't. Like, we can tell a new story every day, we can create a fake story, we can do comic books, we can have a video game, we can paint them up on a wall, make murals, there's endless possibilities. What we do, we enter new European markets, we can create a market specific, we can have him holding a baguette, with onions around his neck, drinking French beer in France. So there's no
you
endless...
You're not being racist, no.
Exactly. so there's no end of the racism this brand can show and highlight, but... Yeah, like so
Paul and Seamus, our marketing guy, they would work together in terms of brand development, in terms of coming up with the names, coming up with the story. Obviously, like, we can all come up with a cool name, but unless there's something that Paul can put into artwork and people can kind of get straight away and stuff. So you only get like 5 seconds of someone looking along a tap, so you kind of has to be bold, yeah. Has to be colourful, has to be a lot of detail.
It does, yeah, it does. They just really pop out of you, you know, and you know, even they're nearly like colour specific, you know, and but like they do have that kind of little story behind them, like that you can tell immediately from the image.
Yeah, every beer has to have a concept almost. It's kind of, you know, it's not just a matter of having a good colour or a good design or, a funny name. Like, it has to have a concept from start to beginning, where, you know, you can really tell a story in that 5 second, whether it's on someone looking at a shelf full of cans or someone looking at a tap section in a bar. You have to just grab their imagination. I think Paul and Seamus do that really well.
Oh, they definitely do. And you like to take the piss out of them on the Instagram stories as well.
Ah, sure, we wouldn't be friends if you didn't do that, I suppose.
No, definitely not.
So excellent, yeah. So I think we'll have our third taster, DJ, I think.
Absolutely.
So boys, what do we have here, the third one here?
Yes, this is Castaway, which is our passion fruit sour. So it was also our third core range beer alongside Citra and Keller beer. And it started off just a special. It was one of the, Kevin was talking about the great for the town, one of the early bottle releases. This would have came out around the same time. And it was a kind of a beer that got us well known for producing kind of sour beer. And it was one of those beers we never planned on brewing again, but because of the, I suppose, the demand and people talking about it and people probably trying sour beer for the first time and opening a whole new world from. So it's a passion fruit sour beer, which the beer will be sour, it'll have some tartness and some acidity, and then you have the passion fruit to provide a little bit of sweetness, but also to add a little bit more tartness and acidity. It's one of those beers you will either love or hate. And it's one of those beers that people who don't think they like beer will also like. Like a lot of gin drinkers or wine drinkers can kind of find themselves.
Controversial opinion time. Owen, I know you a long time. I want to put my foot out and neck out and say, I reckon this is your favourite drink of all time.
Oh, this is... it's absolutely savage. Like, honestly, like, every time I've come here, it's just been...
Lads, I have to work with this guy like fucking 40 hours a week, and he doesn't shut up about this fucking passion fruit sour.
It's honestly so, so good. I was saying as well about my girlfriend. I said she wasn't a beer drinker. She drinks wine, spirits and stuff. But like, I was like, Kira, have a taste of this. She was like, I'll have a glass of that. Yeah. Like, I will. That is absolutely delicious. Like, it is so flavoursome. It's like having one of those like Maynard sours or something in your mouth, like
or like a Solero or something.
Delish, like,
yeah. I know my girlfriend's the same. That the only beer she'll drink is sour beer, and every time you go to the off place, and she'll just produce a sour beer, and that's her beer style now, which is Once you get into it, it's a whole new world of beer. Like,
I think the big success of this passion fruit sour rice is that We were talking about one on episode 2 or episode 4, I can't remember. It was one where the lads, it was Simon and David, episode 4, we were talking about one of them, and it was one of those where, like, geez, it's an interesting taste, I'm not sure. And then you'd have a pint of it and you'd be intrigued, but then if you went to have a second one, you wouldn't really go back to it. This is one that you just fucking keep going back to. It's absolutely fucking delicious. Like, Kevin, what's your take on it? You're obviously a fan.
When I first tasted sour beer, Declan, our head brewer, did a lot of taste training with us. When I came in there, I was doing beer training basically with Declan, and he showed me a number of sours, and I just thought, there's no way I'll ever be able to drink this. Like, I thought they were, I didn't think they were horrible, but I just thought they weren't for me, and I couldn't get through it. And I remember he said to me, as he walks into the room, it takes a certain number before your palate will adjust, and I just kept going at him, and then one day it was Castaway for me. I just drank it and it was just incredible. Like, I think it's beautiful. It's it's got all the fruit flavour that, I don't know, you can shake a stick at. But you can taste it's a beer as well. It's not there's a lovely malt flavour.
Yeah.
Changes from batch to batch, I just love everything
kind of
about
creamy,
it.
I got almost a creamy kind of yogurty flavour to it as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's one of them things, like all the different aspects of taste it has. And it hits
it's very complex.
It'd blow your fucking mind.
I think you're dead right though, it's probably one of those hate it or love it things, you know. It's like I don't think you'd have a taste of that and go, that's alright.
You'll love it and stop drinking a litre, it's just injected to my veins.
It's definitely, I think, Citra and Castaway, and again it's just a boring answer, they're my two favourite yellow belly beers. And I could always drink them.
Yeah, but it's a boring answer because they're that good.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, if everyone's favourite fucking fruit was something mad, it would be mad.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, like,
it's a good way of putting it.
No, absolutely. It is genuinely that good.
So lads, maybe we'll just look into the future here. What are your plans for Brady's Yard? Do you have any events or anything like planned, or do you know, or like not, you don't have to say specific events or anything, or what's in the pipeline like?
So we've got this lovely open area behind us here with where the brewery is. Obviously it's decked out with seats. We'd love to do beer tasting events out there, gin tasting events, things of that nature. Food pairing, we will be serving food here before Christmas at some point.
I can promise anything as well.
Beer launches as well.
Tap takeovers,
exactly.
But I think the food pairing is something that I'd be absolutely mad keen to see happen here, because the way it's just hit me, not tasting myself because I'm not a professional beer taster or anything like that, I just talk shite in a podcast. But chatting to you lads about, you know, the concept of the beers, how they come about, what you end up putting into them, it's abundantly clear that, you know,
you know your stuff,
but the flavours and the complexity of them are well thought out. So when you have that level of quality in a drink, matching that with food, like, could be fucking spectacular. Like, the Michelin Guide might be calling before long. I'm not saying it will, but
like, especially in Waterford, because, like, there's such a great food culture in Waterford as well. Like, some of the restaurants you have, like, even Arkeen Stores are great for local producers, and, you know, they're all about shopping local and selling local, like, you know. Even like a lot of the restaurants here are all locally owned, and you'll see on their menus, like, you know, Dunmore East Mussels or you know, whatever, from local producers. So
exactly, that's one thing that we've got really good at in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, is caring a lot about where our food comes from and supporting local. And if we can move any half of that over to beer, we'll be one of the most thriving industries in the country.
Exactly.
And that's the problem a lot of times, is they will, even restaurants you go in, and they'll care so much about their food, where their food comes from, and then they'll have a fridge full of Heineken and Budweiser.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much local alternatives around. So that's something we really want to push as well, and go hand in hand, side by side with the local food producers.
I think a lot of restaurants in Waterford are nearly kind of coming on board with that, because I think, is it maybe like the Bodega and stuff like that up the road, they sell like Dungarvan, you know, the bottles and things like that, you know, or Metalman or whatever, you know, so.
Bay Tree Bistro as well, like nearly Michelin star nearly at this stage.
Exactly,
and he's got some of the best Irish craft beers in the fridge as well, so.
Probably would be Michelin star if it was in Cork.
Probably, yeah.
Listen, lads, being honest with you, this has been a fucking absolute joy of a chat. Really enjoyed it. Thanks a million for having us in. Listen, we'll definitely be in here very regularly, and we'll be recording out here very regularly. I just want to commend Yellow Belly Beer, I want to commend Kevin and all of the staff here at Grady's Yard, who have been very welcoming to us basically since you've opened. And listen, can't sing the praises of this place high enough. Just sign a note here. A lot of our listeners aren't from Waterford. Any of our listeners from Waterford, come in and have a check the place out. It's fucking amazing. And any of our listeners not from Waterford, what better excuse to visit the beautiful southeast of Ireland to come down and have a pint of any of the range of drinks that we've just described to you here? Because if you're not fucking salivating, I am, and I'm drinking the fucking stuff. Listen, lads, this has been our first ever special edition episode of the Snowcast. I've been DJ Walsh, he's been Danny Trapp, he's been Kevin Kavanagh. I got it, I fucking got it. I was saying it, go ahead. He's been Owen Tab. Thanks a million. Sláinte.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.